so it got continued to the 24th.
Okay, can I have everybody's attention, please? We're going to open up the meeting. Thank you all for coming. Good evening. Today is Wednesday, April 8th, 2026. It's 7:06 p.m. In compliance with the Open Public Meetings Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice was published in 100 Review, posted on the Township Bulletin Board, and as a courtesy, posted on the Township website. Official action will be taken at this meeting. I'd like to ask everybody to please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, and then, if you'll accommodate me, I'd like to have a moment of silence for our troops in harm's way, as well as I want to make a note that we had a long-term township resident, Al Nagy, passed away, so if we could have a little bit of an extra moment of silence for him. Appreciate it.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Ms. Kohler?
Here.
Mr. Wojcik?
Here.
Mr. McKee?
Here.
Mr. Webb?
Here. Okay. Let's get to it. So I'd like to present the presentation of minutes from March 11, 2026 for the regular session meeting minutes. Does anybody on the committee see anything out of the ordinary with those?
Not on the regular, I didn't.
Rich, you good?
I'm good.
Tom, good?
Yeah.
Okay. Can I get a motion to accept those meetings minutes for March 11, 2026?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Oh, go ahead. Rich can second.
Ms. Rabakowski?
Yes.
Ms. Kohler?
Yes.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Wojcik?
Yes. Also, the executive session meeting minutes from March 11th, 2026.
Did you make that change?
Yeah.
Okay. We have to amend it. We can't talk about it because they're
executive. Okay. All right. So we're going to accept them as
amended.
As amended?
Yeah.
Okay. Can I get a motion to accept the meeting, the executive session meeting minutes of March 11th, 2026 as amended?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Mr. Rabakowski?
Yes.
Ms. Kohler?
Yes.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Wojcik?
Yes. Okay. I'd like to open the open up the floor of public comments, limited to agenda items only, and we give it's limited to 4 minutes per speaker. Anybody wishing to opine?
We need to make a motion.
Can I get a motion to open a meeting? Sorry about that, folks.
I'll make a motion to open a public comment for agenda items only.
Second.
Mr. Rabakowski?
Yes.
Ms. Kohler?
Yes.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Wojcik?
Yes. Okay. Anybody wishing? No? Okay. Can I get a motion to close public comments?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Mr. Rabakowski?
Yes.
Ms. Kohler?
Yes.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Wojcik?
Yes. Okay, we're going to move on to the 2026 budget presentation, which would be resolution number 59-2026.
Yeah.
Consigliere?
And that's to authorize the budget be read.
I'll make a motion to adopt 59.
Wait a minute, he's got it. Something's up.
What did we?
Title, right.
Yeah. Did he say the wrong one?
No. He said it was the budget, but you're just reading it by title. You can adopt that, then do the presentation.
Yeah, correct.
Okay. So I'm reading the budget by title.
Yeah, you want to make a motion to adopt 59-2026, which allows authorized the reading by title as opposed to reading the whole budget.
Gotcha. So I'm asking for, we're going to read resolution number 59-2026 for the municipal budget.
Right, you need, no. Yeah, it's for the municipal budget, but it's you need a motion to adopt 59-2026.
So moved.
Second.
Okay.
Mr. Abakowski?
Yes.
Ms. Kohler?
Yes.
There.
It's okay. Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Wojcik?
Yes. Good thing you're here. Okay, I'm going to open up the floor to our wonderful CFO and our auditor, Lorraine, to present.
Very happy that you're here.
We're very happy that you're here. Done an excellent job.
All right. Welcome to the darkness, everyone. Can everybody see that?
Yep.
There's copies out front if anybody needs them. I should have thought about reading my stuff in the dark. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's better.
A flashlight?
No, I don't want a flashlight. That'd be just my luck.
Can you guys hear back there?
Not really.
How's this?
That's good. That sounds... Can you hear that?
Can you hear now?
It's funny that that's not...
Oh, that's meant to come...
Okay, I'll speak. I'll speak kind of loud. If you can't hear me, there's seats up front here. You're welcome to come up. So we're here tonight to have our public hearing on our 2026 municipal budget. Your elected officials labored on this budget and made a lot of decisions for the future of the township. And a budget is more than just the way that we plan to spend your money for the year. It's more than just numbers on a page. We are in somewhat of what I would call a renaissance phase of our municipal budget process. We are changing the way that we think about our annual budget. And in 2026, our budget is more than just this current year of our expenditures. It's a long-term financial plan, just the first year of the plan for the township. That plan that is going to account for measured growth, and it moves towards a more active approach in really studying the services that the town provides and the departments that provide those services. We're not just looking at last year's budget and saying we need 3% more for our 2026 budget. We have more internal record keeping. I know we've talked about that in a couple of meetings previously. We've added subaccounts into our internal record keeping, and that allows the governing body a greater detail of information so that they can make those top-level decisions. They can monitor more in depth what we're actually spending. So this additional data allows them to make those critical decisions, like do we want to continue along this path with this expense, or is there a more efficient way to provide a service that we currently provide? The data provides the basis for many decisions that are moving us into a more lean and responsible financial management era. And when we talk about our budget tonight, just keep in mind that this is just the first year of our financial plan. Let's see if I can do this. Okay.
Lorraine, if you don't mind, could you just make mention that we're doing this, we're doing a five-year out kind of budget process now?
Yep. Part of our process has been pushing out an additional 5 years so that we are not only looking at this year, we're looking 5 years into the future to see how the decisions that we make today are going to impact us financially 5 years down the road. So the first thing that a lot of people think of, it's great, I'm glad you're doing some financial planning, but what are my taxes going to do? In New Jersey, we are very special in that the local municipality collects taxes for not just our use, but also for the county and school. In our situation, it's schools, multiple, because we have two schools that we collect taxes for. In 2025, we were responsible to collect the entire levy of over $27 million. We also collected all the complaints on high taxes. We sent all the delinquent notices, and we paid the school and county their full levies. Since we are the only entity of those three that interacts with the public directly on the level that we do, I just want to make certain that you all know exactly where your tax dollars go. In 2025, out of that $27,687,000 that our residents were charged, we kept $3,143,000 for our municipal operations. We also kept $93,000 for local open space preservation. Looking at the data in a pie chart, it's a little easier to see the small portion of your annual taxes that stay in local government. We collect that 12%, that little green piece of the pie there. The next closest to us is the county at 17%. That's about 50% more than what we get to keep.
Next comes the schools, both the regional and the local schools. They make up 71% of your total tax bill. That's almost two and a half times what the county and the municipality get to keep from your taxes. So tonight we're only going to look at that little green section, that 12%, because that's what's on our municipal budget. Our rate last year was 0.337, and we're anticipating an increase of about 2.4 cents. That would put our local rate at 0.361. We won't have the exact rate until the county actually strikes that, so that could be several weeks off until all of the municipalities submit their budgets, but we do expect that that's where we'll wind up. Our local rate information is on the top right-hand portion there. Again, this is just an estimate based on the information that we have available to us right now. This slide shows the tax increase, just the local tax increase for a lot of home values in the town. The average value home is $758. The annual tax increase for that average property will be $108. That's about $9 a month. So there's a lot of values that are shown here. You're welcome to peruse this at your leisure. I know people don't have things to do sometimes on Wednesday nights, so take a look at where your assessment shows up on this, and that'll give you an idea of where your local taxes will be increasing for 2026. Okay, since we started talking about revenues, we'll stick along that avenue. Tax, as you saw, was our largest revenue. That's $3,349,000. That makes up 42% of our entire budget. That being said, we do have a lot of other revenues that I'll highlight briefly for you. Our next largest revenue that carries about 33% of the budget is our energy tax. And I know I've railed on this before, but the state sometimes categorizes this as state aid, but it's really not. It was a local revenue that we used to collect, and the state decided they would volunteer, or actually commandeer, the collection of that revenue. So I've never seen the actual formula. I'm not sure that anybody's ever seen the formula, but the state, I'm sure, does not pay us 100% back of that energy tax that they collect. I believe years ago, the municipal budget here was fully funded by that energy tax. So that makes up 33% of our budget and comes in at about $2.6 million. The next highest revenue we have is our fund balance, and I know we've spoken at great length about this last year and in our budget meetings this year already, but fund balance is pretty much generated through conservative budgeting. If we bring in more revenue than we anticipate, that generates fund balance. If we bring in revenues that we didn't anticipate, that also generates fund balance. If we don't spend all the appropriations that we have in our budget, again, that generates fund balance. So pretty much everything that brings about a positive financial situation generates fund balance. We spend the fund balance by using it as a revenue in our budget, and this year it represents about 8% of our budget. Our fund balance helps offset larger tax increases. It steadies movements because our other revenues do vary year to year, and it can also be used for a one-time large appropriation purchase. Some people think of fund balance as a savings account. So to liken that to your personal budget, if you have a personal budget that you pay rent, electric, and cable for, and at the end of the month, maybe it was not too hot, not too cold, maybe your mother-in-law didn't come to visit, your electric bill was a little bit less, maybe you have a little money left at the end of that month. That's what we would call fund balance or surplus. You can then make that decision. Do you want to save that for next month when you may have a higher electric bill? Do you want to put a down payment on a car, or do you want to save that for long-term savings? And in municipal government, we do all three of those things with fund balance. To be a good steward of municipal funds, you really have to conservatively manage your fund balance. It's very easy to spend and very hard to earn, so we try to be very respectful of our fund balance. One of our committee women just saw an article that was published about another local town and how they had spent down their fund balance dramatically and then had to suffer a rather large tax increase. So we try to be very conservative with our use of fund balance so that it's there for future tax years. That's part of our long-term financial plan. We also have revenue that is generated by shared services with the school. The funds shown here of a little over $508,000 represent the SLEO and SRO that we provide for our local schools, and that represents 6% of our budget revenue. This is offset by an equal appropriation that we'll see when we look at the other side of the budget. Next, we have our delinquent tax and interest income. Our tax collector works hard year-round to collect our current taxes. That was the $27 million that we collect that we get to keep $3 million of. She also collects delinquent taxes and charges interest on those delinquent taxes. We expect to collect $370,000 this year in those two categories, and that makes up 5% of our budget. We do also have grants in our 2026 budget. That's about $260,000, and those grants are anticipated this year for NJDOT, which would work for road paving. We have some clean communities funding and some police grants that make up that money. All of those grants together make up about 3% of our budget. The interesting thing about grants in the state of New Jersey is that if you get a grant award after your budget is adopted, the state has a special mechanism that allows you, through an approval process, to add that into your budget. So if we were to receive a grant in another month, say of $1 million, we wouldn't be able to spend it until the state gave us permission to insert that into our budget. We also have what I would call idle funds, which is money just sitting in our checking account. And we have a local bank that we bank with, and we negotiated a relatively good interest rate, and we anticipate earning about $175,000 of interest revenue this year. We have some local revenue that's made up of court fines, alcohol licenses, and fire safety fees. We expect to bring in about $66,000 from that category, and that makes up 1% of our budget. Last and certainly least, we have a whopping $18,000 of state aid. That money comes from the Garden State Trust, and mathematically speaking, that is 0% of our revenue. So thank you to the state of New Jersey for your contribution.
But I can fly a helicopter.
Yeah, we are about halfway through, and another little tidbit. I had asked Jay if we could have some refreshments for intermission, and he said, no, we don't have money for that. And he is absolutely correct. In the state of New Jersey, it's not our money, it's your money, and we are not permitted to spend that on anything but what's in the budget, and we're specifically not allowed to spend it on food, gifts, or donations. It's your money, and we can't gift it away to anyone.
I would have made cookies if you told me.
Yeah, that for next year, Beth. I am not myself a fan of AI. I might be the only person left, but
no.
I did venture a question to AI. I asked, what is the purpose of a municipal budget? Because I was curious to see what the response would be. And it gave me this. The purpose of a municipal budget is to allocate resources effectively to meet the needs of the community. And honestly, in a nutshell, that's correct. It's a very simplistic view of the purpose of a budget. What's that?
It didn't hallucinate.
No. No, it didn't lead me anywhere. I myself would add to this that the budget is a planning tool that is used to ensure financial stability for years to come, and that's the course that we're on now. We're trying to make sure that the future is as stable as possible in uncertain times. The state has a mandatory form that municipal governments have to submit our budget on. It's about an inch thick, legal-length paper, and there's a lot of blank space on it. So when you look at our official budget, it really doesn't give you a lot of information as to where we're actually spending your money, where we're concentrating that spending. We have an internal document that provides a huge amount of detail. That's not releasable to the public because it is deliberative in nature. But it's only 500 lines. It's a very simplistic document, and it gives us so much detail that also viewing that would be difficult to see the big picture as to where we're really spending your money. So the state actually had a great idea a number of years ago, and they came up with a document called the User-Friendly Budget. And there's a ton of information on that. It will be posted on our website in a couple of days. It takes me about a week to gather all the data to put into that document, so of course nobody ever looks at it. one of the great things that it does do, it gives the idea that you can group your expenditures into categories that make it a little bit easier to understand. So that is what I did. Get ready for this great graphic. Our entire budget of $8 million, I've categorized into what I would call 10 cost centers. These are just an account order number, and just like all other data, it's always easier to see when it's in a chart. So looking at this pie chart, I'll review from smallest to largest where your money actually goes. We spend about 1%, that's the little purple section of the pie there, on health and environmental. That's made up of our Board of Health, our Environmental Committee, I think it is, our Animal Control, Social Services, Recreation, Seniors, and the Library. 3% goes towards grants. That's 100% off by the revenue that we discussed a couple of slides ago. And 2% pays for utilities. For utilities, we have street lighting, electricity, cable, internet, oil, gas, diesel, unfortunately, and heating oil. The next largest is our RUT, and that's 8%. I'll come back to that at the end. About 9% of our budget is spent on what I would call statutory expenditures. Those are things like accumulated leave payouts for PTO for employees. That's our state pension payments for police and public employees, employment taxes, and disability payments. About 10% of our budget goes towards administration. That's basically all of your white-collar workers. That's your governing body, your municipal clerk, your finance office, tax collection, assessment, the museum, information technology, planning and zoning, and all of your professionals, our auditor, our legal counsel, and our engineer. They're all paid, and they make up 10% of our municipal budget. The current year of our capital plan, which is the amount that we are funding towards our capital purchasing this year, makes up 13% of our budget. As a little tidbit, our budget for capital last year was $875,000. This year it's $1,008,000. That's a pretty large increase, and the bulk of that was to set aside funding for the fire truck that we ordered last year so that we don't have to issue debt. Next up is about 14% of our budget for our insurances. That includes our professional liability and medical insurances. Our public works, which includes road maintenance, storm recovery, recycling, buildings and grounds, all vehicle maintenance for DPW, police, and fire, our parks and our fields, all that maintenance, that makes up 16% of our municipal budget. Last, but opposite of least, is public safety. This category is 25%, or one quarter of our entire municipal budget goes towards public safety. That includes police, of course, but also emergency management, fire protection, fire safety, LOSAP, which is our length of service award program, our court services, our school resource officer, and our SLEOs. Keep in mind that the SLEOs are 100% paid by the school, and the SRO is mostly paid by the schools. Our last category, which is out of order, is our RUT. And the RUT is $650,000 of our budget. The RUT stands for the Reserve for Uncollected Taxes. And I know we talked about it last year, and Abe and I think, argued about it a couple of times during budget meetings this year. But I just want to emphasize what that actually is. This is a non-spending appropriation, and it's about as difficult to understand as it is to calculate. In normal commercial accounting, a lot of people may be familiar with a category called allowance for doubtful accounts. So we touched earlier on that municipalities in New Jersey have to collect taxes for both schools and the county as well as ourselves. We are statutorily required to pay them 100% of their levies. We don't collect 100% of our tax levy. So the total $27 million levy, we collect 98.71%. We have an amazing tax collector. She did a great job last year. 98.71 collection rate is wonderful. But 98.71% of $27,687,000 is only $27,330,000. That's a shortfall of $357,000. We shoulder 100% of that shortfall. So if you remember, we get 12% of the tax bill, but we're stuck with 100% of the delinquent taxes. So we pay the county 100%, we pay the regional school 100%, we pay the local school 100%, and we get 100% of the unpaid taxes. So every year we have a tax sale, and a lien is normally sold on a delinquent property, their taxes from the prior year. That's great. We almost always end up with a full collection rate, but the problem is it comes a year late. So that gap that we have is the reason that we have to have a reserve for uncollected taxes. So we have to raise that much more to make sure that we have cash liquidity on hand so that we can not only pay the county and both schools 100%, but we can meet all of our obligations as well. So the school, the county, and our creditors are not willing to wait a year to collect that, so we have to raise that $650,000 above what our levy actually is to make sure that we have sufficient cash on hand. Just that one appropriation works out to be about 7 cents of your total tax bill, local portion. Short and sweet tonight. Just know that even though we're looking to adopt our municipal budget this evening, our budget process does not stop after tonight. It's continually running in the background. We are every day looking for ways to maximize our revenue, to collect as much as we can, to find new revenue sources. We're continually reviewing the expenditures that we're paying out and seeing if there's any modifications we can make to make things more efficient. I wanted to congratulate the governing body tonight for bringing up to vote a budget that is more transparent, more collaborative, and moving in the direction of strong financial stability. So good job to the governing body.
All because of you. Yeah. Your leadership.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we'll have questions, but our auditor, I'm sure, has a lot of fun things to add.
I'll keep it short and sweet, though. I promise. So for those of you that don't know me, my name is Laura Atwell. I work with BKC. We are your auditor. I come in once a year. We sort of participate during your budget process. We're more so kind of your liaison between your governing body, your CFO, and then getting it to the state. The fun thing this year is that we had to go through a state review. So that meant that they went through and they really did a fine-tooth comb through everything that you have. Whether or not your budget went up or down, they were questioning all the lines. Normally, they don't really question when your lines go down, but this they actually did. They were questioning, why aren't we budgeting as much in a certain category? So we had to explain a lot more things that we did compared to normal. There was a lot of shift in their administration, which was one of the reasons why they had so many questions, too. There are other municipals and school districts. You've seen them in the news a lot lately, especially, for example, Montclair, where they're getting headlines because their budgets aren't sufficient, and now they're having to raise the taxes a lot. So there is a lot more scrutiny this year than compared to other years, but overall, it does work in our favor. It makes us more aware of things as they're happening. With that being said, there are a lot of different regulations with your budget, too. We can't just increase one area very easily. There's stipulations on every single category. But to just highlight everything before we go more into about the state review, looking overall at your budget, a lot of things remain the same or they went down. And you'll forgive me, a lot of times I have my notes on my phone that I just cover everything. No, I am fine. We had a new category this year for revenues with the fees and permits. It's pretty nominal. It's about $1,500. We had a decrease in the surplus that's being utilized, which is a great sign because it means that we're relying less on our surplus at the end of the year in order to help keep the balance of the budget in the following year. We're also anticipating more this year in interest. A lot of the interest rates have been pretty steady for the last couple of years. Although we've seen a little bit of decreases, we are hoping to have another pretty decent year. We stayed pretty conservative with that number. On the expenditure side of things, we do have a new line this year for data processing expenses. You'll notice that a lot of different other categories might have gone down, and then they kind of moved into this category instead, kind of combine all of our processes that were in different areas all into one area. We did have a decrease in the legal services. There was a lot going on the last couple of years. We're kind of seeing that kind of die down, which is great. We also had a decrease in the police salaries, but we had the increase in their need for other expenses. And then on the statutory side, we had the police and firemen retirement system, which was a requirement, and that had increased over the prior year. And then our grants are up, but again, this affects both the revenues and our expenditure side. A lot of times those expenditures aren't necessarily relied on, associated with your regular budget operations, which is great. Those are usually hopefully one-time grants, and that we help supplement everything. As mentioned before, the tax collections had improved. If you recall last year, I did suspect that would happen with change in tax collectors. So that was another positive for the current year. Our surplus is looking great again this year with another positive increase happening. And then on the tax increase side of things, it is nice to see where you're only having those nominal increases, where it might seem like a big percentage, but when it actually impacts even your largest homes, so if you have a $500,000 home, you're only seeing an increase of maybe $10 a month, which is pretty nominal compared to your other bills that are happening at the same time. So what we're going to do at this point is we are going to point out that we're going to have you open up the public hearing so that we can have public comment. If there is any public comments, more than happy to answer any questions, or the governing body can always chime in too. And then afterwards, when we close it, we are going to do an amendment to the budget. If you'd like, I can explain that amendment now in case there are additional questions from the public on that topic, and then we can go through that next process. So,
Carolyn, do we want to have her do it now? You want to do it now?
Yeah. Okay. Can we turn the lights on?
Yeah. So
there's no more slides. A public hearing on the amendment.
So just to explain the public what's happening with the amendment. So with the state reviewing our budget, there was a lot of scrutiny, and there's a lot of rules that we have to follow. There's different appropriation caps and levy caps where we can only raise, say, 2%, or we can only go over a certain threshold. With the school resource officers, we're allowed to anticipate a certain amount of revenue, say $400,000, and then we also have the expenditure side, which is also about $400,000. When we go to recognize the revenue, though, it's based off of when you actually receive the cash. So regardless of when we had it sent out the bill, it only matters when we got that money. So if we sent a bill in November, didn't get the cash until January, we're only able to recognize the items that we had received in the prior year. Because of that, it looked like there was a deficit this past year between what we anticipated for the revenue versus what we had actually received. For example, if we budgeted $400, we had about $200-something come in, but there was a timing issue with it. So what's going to happen is we're actually going to be recognizing a lot more revenue in 2026 compared to what we had anticipated. This deficit, though, because it's related to a shared service, the state has another requirement with it. So they adjust our calculations on the appropriation side. And then as they did so, it required us now, we were above the appropriations cap, so now we had to make sure that we came back below that cap. In order to do so, we did have to reduce the budget by $24,000, which we did. So you'll see on the amendment, there are three lines that we had adjusted, one of them being the police, the legal, and now I'm drawing it, DPW, primarily all other expenses. And then we did find that with the legal, because we are anticipating some of the insurance to cover a portion of it, that was one of the categories that we were able to adjust. But it does reduce our expenditures. Again, the state, they fine-tooth-combed everything you could think of. They questioned me on $2.03.
Wow. They don't do that with their own budget.
Yeah, they don't do it with their own.
Well, we are eager to see what happens with that. So we did get the approval. It happened about 3 hours prior to this meeting, but we made it here with the amendment being said. And at this point, if you want to open up to public comment or public hearing.
Well, he'll keep us straight.
That's why he's here.
I had my dispute with that clerk last night. See, if we have a public comment, not public hearing. There's a difference.
Okay. So that being said, let's. Can I get a motion to open the
public hearing?
Public hearing.
I'll make a motion to open the public hearing.
Second.
Mr. Abakowski?
Yes.
Ms. Kohler?
Yes.
Ms. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Woser?
Yes. All right. Can now now I get a motion to anybody want to make any questions, have any questions, concerns? Nobody?
Yeah.
Wait, before you speak, can Laramie, can you go over there, please? Thank you. We want to make sure we get you on record.
Hi, I'm Laramie Silver at Musconet Kong River Road, and the question I have is about the item on the law enforcement officers in the schools. You had pointed out during that excellent presentation, Lorraine, about that we get all or almost all of that money back from the schools, but of course the school budget, as you pointed out, is also part of our municipal tax levy. So at the end of the day, is 100% for those school officers still just being back on the taxpayers? Is there any sort of aid we get from the state for that as a, you know, mandatory safety feature, or is it still just us paying that, whether it's on the school side of the line or the municipal side of the line?
That's a great question.
Lorraine? Yeah. Sorry. As far as I know, I don't believe that the school gets any kind of state aid for security. I know we don't. So at the end of the day, the burden is still on the taxpayer. It's still showing up on your bill 100%. Just part of it's being billed by us. The bulk of it's being billed by the school.
So we actually have a gentleman in the audience that may be able to give us a little more detail on that. If you want to.
If you want to come to the board meetings, I'd be happy to talk to you.
Well, I'd ask you. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I
so,
can speak at it.
Okay.
For the board as a whole. No. But no, there are no grants that are
important. It's been a long time since they've had any safety ones that covered that area.
Yeah.
And is that request, is that request for the law enforcement officers then, is it the school board who's making that? Is it our township who's saying, yes, we want to offer this? Which directionality, who's making the decision that $500,000 is going to be spent in that way?
School board.
Yeah, that was a request.
I mean, if you go back in history, yes, it was the school that asked the township.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Come on up.
We could just pass the mic.
Yeah, maybe one of these days we'll get one of those filled, whatever.
A stand-up thing.
Jean Lang, Musconet Kong River Road. I would also like to know, that's a big chunk of the budget, and if the schools are requesting it, then 72% of our tax dollars are not going to the school. It's more like 75 or 78,
ding,
right?
Ding, ding,
because
ding,
it's
ding.
Going right to the school.
Yes.
Isn't that right? Okay, so maybe they could have a bake sale. I mean, that, you know, why are we paying for that too? And the school requested it. Like, did we vote on that? Was it a referendum?
So with the school districts, they are paying us back for the portion that we're putting out for the officers. So we're still, even though the percentage seems, they end up offsetting each other. There is no referendum as long as the school can put it into their budget and effectively get that line in there. And it really does vary from school to school. A lot of the concerns does come from the parents who want their children to be safe based off of the activities that have been happening over the years. In more recent years, especially with what was happening, for example, Sandy Hook is a great example, you would notice that the state was providing a lot of aid after that point in order to help try and put in, say, new vestibules or to help towards funding these officers to be in the school districts or get them properly trained in the process.
Well, there was a pretty widely known incident in Texas where I think that was counter to what was going on. And if you've ever been to this school, there's, since Laramie, there's two heavily locked doors, and you have to be buzzed into one, then there's a camera, then you're buzzed into the other one. So there's no way anybody's getting into that school, except it's buzzed
never.
In twice.
Yeah, you can't never, say, can't never say never. Heavy weapon can blow right through some of that stuff.
Yeah. We don't know how crazy people are. We don't know how many crazy people are out there. And the things that you see all over this country,
in those same communities, they'll say, nothing like that ever happens here. But it did. And so nothing like that ever happens here, and I hope to God it never does. That doesn't mean it won't.
Me too, but, you know, bans on assault rifles would help, huh?
I don't know.
I'll bet you.
Well, but it's
not. I don't think that's appropriate discussion for this meeting.
But I'm not happy that it says 72% is going for the school when that's not correct. Anyway, also, I would like to know where the revenue for police officers giving summonses, giving tickets for speeding, where is that in the budget?
That's under our court revenue. That's under our local revenue. That was the total of, I think it was $66,000.
Is there a way we could possibly give more speeding tickets? I know certainly down our road. No, I'm serious. I mean, down our road, it's horrible.
We'd have to check with the police department, but I don't think you...
Well, they got a new radar thing. Mm-hmm. Right. So if we increased speeding tickets 20%...
So can I direct that? So it would be improper, if not illegal, the governing body to instruct its police department to increase the number of tickets by a certain percentage or a certain number.
How about if you just gave people tickets? How about if you just enforced it more?
Enforcement, they can always do the enforcement. But you can't say, hey, we need 20% more tickets, so go out there and write 20% tickets.
Okay, don't give them a percentage, but I'm sure you could say, please.
The court also dictates what we're actually receiving. So then this conversation actually goes to the court that we're joined with and we have an agreement with.
Can I ask a clarification? Because I see some confusion here. When the school develops their budgets, a part of their budgets, they incorporate the SLEO costs and the SRO costs. That's their total budget. So when that total budget comes to us, which is the 72%, that includes the SLEOs and the SROs. Now, yes, it's kind of going from one pocket to the other pocket because then we have to pay that. And then it's going to come back to us. So that money goes around in a circle. And we see it in these crazy numbers and the accounting practices that are required to accommodate all this information. I hope that clarifies it.
The other thing is the SRO. They help fund a full-time police officer for us, so that would bring that 72 in line, I'm sure.
Right. I'm not sure what the actual percentage is according to the contract, but I think it's like 75% of the cost of the SRO.
Yeah, like
it's covered at the school.
Yeah, it's like we have a full-time officer, but the school doesn't need them in the summer, but we get
So we get paid. The use of them.
Yeah, we get use of them. That's what it is with the money, so.
Is there anybody else? No? Okay. Can I get a motion to
close the public comment?
Hearing.
Public hearing.
Hearing. Sorry, hearing comments.
I'll make a motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
Mr. Abadowski?
Yes.
Ms. Kohler?
Yes.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Woda?
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
We are going to do the amendment approval at this point, and then you'll adopt the budget.
Okay. So I'm going to ask for a motion to approve the amended budget.
No. We're asked for a motion to adopt Resolution 59A-2026 to amend the introduced 2026 municipal budget.
Okay.
That shows all the changes, all the amendments.
Yes.
Okay. So can I get a motion to resolution number 59A-2026?
Resolution to amend the introduced 2026 municipal budget as explained. I'll make that motion.
Second.
Mr. Abadowski?
Yes.
Ms. Kohler?
Yes.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Woodard?
Yes. Okay. So moving on to the actual
adoption
of the budget. Can I get a motion to adopt Resolution 60-2026, which is the resolution to adopt the 2026 municipal budget as amended.
Yes. I will make that motion.
Second.
Mr. Abakowski?
Yes.
Ms. Kohler?
Yes.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Wilder?
Yes. Okay, we just gave birth to a new budget.
So you know what happened with the state, if I could, because you said that they questioned everything going down. They're not used to making cuts. That's why that was the issue there.
Yeah,
the
they didn't like when they made cuts. Yeah. And I'll point out that, and correct me, our town is one of very few that has zero
debt.
Wow. Yeah, it's very, very rare.
Very rare, right?
We do
very
have rare. Authorized but not issued. So we have debt authorized, but we don't have any issued debt.
Thank you for that. And one other thing, another that ties into what the state mandated. 5 years ago, they mandated our police officers have to have body cams, which is fine, great. Everybody gets protected. They only funded it for 5 years. So this year, we have to fund it.
And the massive amounts of storage for all of that
data. And most of that is paying for cloud storage. So just wanted to make those a couple of notes there.
Okay.
Ladies, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Lorraine, fantastic job.
Thank you.
We're trying to make sure everybody's well informed. I would buy you something, but I said no. I said no. I might have a couple of shekels in my pocket I could spare. Good night. Thank you.
I would have done it. She wanted brownies. Okay, I would have made them.
Okay, let's move along. Ordinance for introduction is ordinance number 05-2026, amending the code of Lebanon Township by repealing article. Oh my God! Look
this
at all
is
this.
23.
Jesus, Mary and Joseph. I can't even read those Roman numerals XXIII.
State statute
33-49A to 330-49M, entitled Stormwater Management. This is another state mandate. And adopting a new stormwater management ordinance designated as Article XXIII, 330-49A to 330-49M, entitled Stormwater Management. Can I get a motion to introduce that ordinance?
I'll make that motion.
Second. I don't want to be a bulldog here.
That's okay.
Mr. Abakowski?
Yes.
Ms. Kohler?
Yes.
Ms. Mickey?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Wilder?
Yes. All right, then we're going to have a public hearing date for this ordinance is scheduled for Wednesday, May 13th, 2026.
Right, our next regularly scheduled.
And that's when we will introduce that one again.
We'll have a
public hearing, all of that. Mm-hmm. All right, next is resolution number 52-2026, authorizing and approving shared services agreement between the Township of Lebanon and Lebanon Township School District for various services. We were talking about that with SLEOs and so forth. And that was tabled from March 11th because we need to get some things together. So can I get a motion to adopt Resolution 52-2026?
Yeah, I'll make that. I just wanted to say that I've got the shared service agreement with it. That's what I wanted to see attached. And really, it's items 4 and 5 in there that we really tightened up the process, because what was happening is this: we had a shared service with the local school, but it seemed to be creep. There was more and more that needed to be done, and we just wanted to clarify, this is what we agreed to. Anything else, it's got to go through the clerk, first of all. Can't be willy-nilly. Everybody wants to help, but it costs a lot of money. So, and there was actually one time, I guess due to a lack of communication with all of this stuff, that one of our DPW managers went over there to do something that he was asked to do, and the school thought he was somebody that was coming to do something that needed a SLEO to go after him, type of a situation. So it's just tightening up the process more, and I just wanted everybody to see that, because it wasn't in the resolution. It was the actual agreement. So with that, I will make a motion to adopt Resolution number 52-2026, authorizing and approving shared services agreement between the Township of Lebanon and Lebanon Township School District for various services.
Second.
Mr. Abakowski?
Yes.
Ms. Kohler?
Yes.
Mr.
McKee? Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Logan?
Yes. All right, moving on to the next one, number 61-2026, resolution authorizing the redemption of a tax sale certificate number 25-0004 for 358 Winding Brook Lane, Block 38, Lot 65. Can I get a motion to adopt?
Come on, you guys.
Come on, guys.
Step up. I'll make that motion.
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Ms. Kohler?
Yes.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yeah.
Mr. Logan?
Yes. Okay. Next resolution, number 62-2026. Resolution authorizing a refund of a tax overpayment for Block 555, Lot 3. Can I get a motion to adopt that resolution?
Yeah, I actually had to look that one up because I didn't remember a block number. So it was, I thought it was a mistake. It's Verizon property. So
this.
Is it over there? Yeah, it didn't have an address. Mm-hmm. But I'll make a motion to adopt resolution number 62-2026 for a refund of tax overpayment for Block 555, Lot 3.
Second.
Mr. Abakowski?
Yes.
Ms. Kohler?
Yes.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Wojcik?
Yes. Okay, moving to the next one. Resolution number 63-2026. Resolution awarding contract to Civic Plus for municipal website hosting and implementation.
Can I just ask, we're moving away from GoDaddy? Is that what happened
here?
Yes.
Correct.
Okay.
So effective 4/26/27, the town website needs to be ADA compliant for certain things as closed caption, auto-filling of quote fields, and Zooming aspects, which unfortunately with GoDaddy and WordPress, they don't have any of these accessibility options. So last year I had looked at a couple different website vendors to move to that have the ADA compliance, and we use Civic Ready for our mass notification. Civic Plus will integrate with that, and it's a very simple, easy-to-use website. Actually, the town uses it. The town of Clinton uses it. Hampton and Sussex County uses it. Washington Borough, Mandeville, and Warren, just as some examples. So. Yeah. We'll start making that transition away from GoDaddy, so we are in time for our compliance.
Right, and it's kind of, as I remember, they say it's like on a hanger, so you kind of can just shift it right over the way it was built. But that's what we were sold from the ESC when they had worked with us on it, that this is a different type of a system. It's on a frame, and it's not like all programming like it was when it was in the infancy stages with, the other people that were here. But are we going to do any creative design with them if we want to make changes?
So there are limited, with this package that we have, it's a boilerplate template.
Okay.
We can put pictures, but it's pretty much, we're not using, they have a package where you can design your own pages. It's very costly.
Okay.
So we're not going to go with that. We're just going to go with their boilerplate. They kind of dump our information in, they put some pictures in, and bam.
Yeah, for now it's a transfer. And are you still going to have those administrative rights that you were able to get a hold of to do certain things?
Yeah, so right now GoDaddy and WordPress, there's only one administrator, that's me. I can't let anybody access it unless I give them my information to go in.
Mm-hmm.
With Civic Plus, I will be administrator. I can change anything. But then on a more granular level, I could give department head access
to
their pages to
good.
Do changes. So if a department needed to go in and change something as opposed to me doing everything, I could have them have access to do that. So
perfect.
There's a little more control where right now with the WordPress GoDaddy platform, it's kind of one or none. So.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is a cost involved. We pay very little to have hosting through GoDaddy, WordPress for our editing. It's something we had a budget for, knowing that we have to be compliant. So, but I'm looking forward to the change. It'll also be, there's some formatting issues we have currently with GoDaddy where on different screens it doesn't look right, and there's nothing I can do to change that.
Yeah.
With Civic Plus, it's going to auto-format to the device you're on, so it'll look correct.
Good.
Self-optimizes.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Which we just don't have that option now. So it's going to be a work in progress, but over the next couple months we'll get the transition done.
Can I make
Can I make a quick plug for the people in the audience as well as for people that will listen to the tape that please sign up for Civic Plus, our mass notification system. We have about 1,000 people so far?
No, unfortunately, no. We have 3 different categories. Our notifications were only about 200 people, and our alerts, emergency alerts, there is about 300. It's really low.
Wow. Yeah, we'd like people to get signed up. So if you tell your neighbors and friends about it, because in an emergency, it's good to be able to keep everybody notified. We can push things out in a real, real crazy emergency, but it's nice to be able to have us be able to communicate with the residents on a regular basis. We're trying to communicate more to the residents on a regular basis. So,
and at least it's not like everybody goes to Facebook pages, and what happens is it's misinformation. A lot of times everybody thinks it's something.
Well, you have to go to a Facebook page where Civic Plus pushes it to you. So people that are busy don't have time to go to Facebook. Yeah. It comes to you.
Yeah.
And we're not going to do spam.
Yeah, it's legitimate information.
Okay. Can we get a motion to adopt resolution number 63-2026?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Rich.
Second. Mr. Adamkowski?
Yes.
Ms. Kohler?
Yes.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Wood?
Yes. Moving on to resolution number 64-2026, resolution authorizing the sale of surplus township property no longer needed for public use through govdeals.com, which is an online government entity auction. Can I get a motion?
Can I just ask
a question? Does anybody have questions about that?
I'm fine with this. Did we ever sell those chairs?
Yes, the chairs did sell.
Oh, that's good. So what happens? We get a check and it goes into something?
So it goes into Myrna, miscellaneous unanticipated.
Oh, Myrna. Yeah. Okay.
We love Myrna.
I can't remember what they sold for, but I want to say $350 possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. We sold that, and there was a dump truck as well. The DPW had that sold. So we have 2 more pieces of equipment here. Mm-hmm. Both are DPW. They'll go live on 4/27. They'll be live for 2 weeks.
Great.
Fantastic.
All right, so I'll make a motion to adopt resolution number 64-2026, authorizing the sale of surplus plus township property.
Second.
Mr. Adamkowski?
Yes.
Ms. Kohler?
Yes.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Wood?
Yes. All right, we're moving on. There's a lot of resolutions here, so bear with us. Number 65-2026, a resolution authorizing defensive litigation titled The NAR Group, Inc. versus Township of Lebanon Planning Board, Township Committee of Township of Lebanon, and the Lebanon Township Board of Adjustment, docket number HNTL 454-22. And I get a motion to adopt that resolution.
Can we get some more information on that?
Thank you. Can Counselor, can you?
So all it is authorizing Jonathan Drill and Mr. Drill's firm, who have already been authorized by the township's insurance company, to undertake the defense of litigation that was instituted by the NAR Group against the 3 defendants that was previously assigned to a different firm. And Mr. Drill was approved by the insurance company to substitute in for the prior firm, and because Mr. Drill had previously been appointed as co-counsel, because he had representing the Zoning Board of Adjustment, he's very familiar with the litigation, has been involved in litigation from the commencement, very experienced, obviously, in municipal land use law issues. So now the township, one of the things that came up during the budget was that the legal budget was decreased. That was because the town had to pay for Mr. Drill's defense of the township, because it wasn't it was larger than just an appeal. It wasn't your traditional type of appeal that the zoning board handles. Now that the insurance company has approved Mr. Drill, his appointment and substitution, now his fees will be being paid by the insurance company and no longer the township. Mm-hmm. So it was something that both Committeeman Webb and Committeewoman Kohler had worked with the insurance company, and it's a net positive. Nothing to say bad about prior counsel, but knowing Mr. Drill's experience and his involvement, it's a net positive for the town, and the township no longer has to pay Mr. Mr. Drill's fees directly.
Right, and it wasn't an easy process either.
It was not.
It was really good.
Excellent work, both of you. It will do very well for the township.
How much was that we were spending for
them? I don't know offhand.
What's
what it
your
was.
Question?
How much was expended on Mr. Drill's bills previously? I don't know.
A lot, quite a bit.
This is a lawsuit that started in 2022, so it's 2026 now. So you'd have to go back and go year by year.
When will the public hear about what's going on in executive session having to do with the NAR group?
When the litigation's over.
Do you have an estimate of the
number? There's a trial scheduled on this one in April, as I believe. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. If we're having discussions, you should be coming up to the mic so we could get it on. I'm sorry, but that's the way we're supposed to do it.
I got correct. I violated my own.
I know. I don't want to yell at you, but sorry. It's okay. He usually yells at us for doing it.
It's not just one. Well, we'll do it. Talk about it later. You can come up when there's more than one. There's a lot of different pieces to it.
Yeah.
It's not just one thing.
I make a motion to adopt resolution.
Thank you.
65-2026.
Second.
Mr. Agatha?
Yes.
Ms. Kohler?
Yes.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Wojcik?
Yes. Okay, moving on. Resolution number 66-2026. Rescinding resolution number 191-2025, authorizing the award of contract to Dan Swayze and Son, Inc., under Morris County Cooperative Pricing Council for traffic striping of Teetertown Road. And the clerk can explain that. Or you want me to get to the next one, and then you want to explain them both?
I'll do both of them.
All right. So
Resolution 66 rescinding is Dan Swayze was awarded the line striping for Teetertown Road last year under co-op, Morris County Co-op. They are no longer a vendor, did not win the award of contract for the co-op for 2026. The project was not completed last year, so we're just rescinding that award to Dan Swayze. Denver Line Striping won the award for 2026 in Morris County Co-op, and the next resolution will be to award Morris County to Denver Line Striping. And it's actually a small reduction in cost as well. It's a couple $100.
I just want to note, too, for the record, Mr. Mayor, that even though Swayze had been awarded a contract previously, there was no purchase order ever issued on that, so there's never signed purchase order with them. So there's no formal agreement ever consummated with Swayze as a contractor.
Thank you, Mark. All right. Can I get a motion to adopt resolution number 66-2026?
So moved.
Second.
You're quicker.
I was
going to be on those game shows. Hit that thing.
What is going on over there?
Mr. Abakowski?
Yes. On the table like
yes.
That.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Wojcik?
Yes. Okay, we're going to move on to the resolution that Carolyn, our clerk, just explained, number 67-2026, authorizing the award of contract to Denville Line Painting, Inc., under Morris County Cooperative Pricing Council for traffic striping of Teetertown Road. Can I get a motion to adopt that resolution?
I'll also make a motion to adopt resolution number 67-2026.
Second.
Mr. Abakowski?
Yes.
Ms. Kohler?
Yes.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Logan?
Yes. All right. Moving on to resolution number 68-2026, authorizing a grant application to New Jersey Historic Trust for the Lebanon Township Museum exterior restoration project. And I'd like to ask Deputy Mayor Tom McKee to explain that one.
Okay.
Before we adopt it.
No problem. A while back, we were issued a spreadsheet by Mr. Overraker that depicted the grants and the grant season that he would be looking and we would be looking to address coming into this year. And this is one of the grants that we had looked at. He had targeted this grant. And unfortunately, it came on the last minute here because
We're, as you know, we've approved an architect who's working on the roof of the museum, and the drawings are actually almost complete. We viewed them with him on Tuesday, and he's moving forward. And in our discussions with Mr. Bickel, the architect who's handling the roof replacement and belfry and cornice work, he felt his expertise was not in this area where he would be looking to do a planning grant. And that's what this is. So we reached out to, Carolyn did, to architect, historical architect firm that she was aware of, and they gave us a number which is budget-oriented only. We used that number from him to, which we will apply for this grant with that figure. And the grant, if awarded to us, the state will pick up 75% of that cost, and the township would have a 25% cost. And they would initial, once it's approved, there'd be an 80% payment right away, and they'd hold back 20%, which we'd have to pay, and then we'd be reimbursed. So this is a planning stage. This is funding that if this grant comes forward, we would then look to hire a historical architect of this nature, like this company. And if you read their proposal that they gave you, they seem excellent, and I would recommend that you take time to look at it. And then they would provide the bids and the specs and everything that we need to do to go out to bid. And this is a planning stage. So, you know, the museum is a part of Lebanon Township's culture, and you've heard a lot of, you know, folklore and talks, and it was done by, you know, volunteers. And as we start to circle the wagons, we had John Bolt, who started to do an architectural report in depth, his visions, his thoughts, which is the basis that started it. Now we have an architect that's looked at the roof and has connected the dots with that. And it's very interesting to hear the history that they have to say about this. And now we're looking at the next phase to look to apply for this grant. And that's what we're asking the committee to consider, to look to allow Carolyn, and we might have David with a little help here, to reach into this portal and apply for this grant, to seek the funds, and then at that point look to this historical, who will then paint a broad picture and analyze that museum, you know, as far as from the roof, the cornice down, and really give us a clear analysis of what we have there as a museum and what we may need to do or may not need to do going forward if we want to or we don't want to. But at least we've educated ourselves to what we have there, whether this committee or future committees, the work is there that they can build off of. So I think it's the right process right now for the township to do, that we look at this as a grant application. And so that's what we're asking.
We're in
right
good
now.
Hands with him too, because I saw him burn the midnight oil last night sending that email out.
Yeah, do you want to address the email that David sent?
He
gave us a kind of an estimate on there. Well, yes, and the estimate's in the Connolly Hickley, and the estimate was the one phase, which is part A of the architect's, you know, proposal, and that amount is $31,350. That's what we are applying for. Of that $31,350, the township would have a position of $7,837 towards this historical architecture. So cobbling together our open space funding and granting, we are trying to manage to move forward with the identity of this building that we have. And I think that for future community members, I think it's a way to go. It's a lending building in a historical district, of the New Hampton Historical District. So I think it's one of these things that we should look at. I mean, the SWAC church has almost fallen down. Mm-hmm. You know, when you look at some of these other historical points here, there's something we can focus on. So that's my feeling. And David, you know, he's really into us. He's been really helpful to us, you know, and he seems to know the course. So we will be working with the historians and David and move forward with this. And the time frame and why it happened like this is we have a date of April 15th that we have to do this by. So
thank you for that. And Abe, did you want to comment on what you heard from the county on historical preservation?
You mean during the symposium?
During the symposium. Is that kind of almost
no,
a no?
No, they had other things at the symposium. Not they had working together with the county, that the county had various grants, but they'll work with us to do various things that we need.
To promote the historic district.
Promote it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And, that's cool.
And if we wanted to get into, by the way, there is money to be made in movies. A lot of the towns around here have made significant amount of money being part of movies, Clinton being one of them, because of the waterfall and stuff. And you have to register yourself. The town has to be registered in order to take part in it. And if we're registered and a movie company comes in, they'll work with the county to find the sites. And so we could be then pushed as a site,
right.
In which case we get money.
Yeah.
So it's a form of revenue. So that's one of the things that we're going to do is become a certified, I'm not even sure what the term is, I've forgotten, but to get certified for the movies.
I saw New Jersey Magazine had a big article on it, and I copied it, and I sent it to Rich. I was saying it's and you have to look for other revenue sources,
which
would be good, and they'll affect you.
And our residents can get paid $200 a day to be an extra, so I like
they'll
that.
They'll probably use our restaurants and things while they're here.
Yeah,
and
commerce, that's right.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, I think it was $837 million came into the state for the movies last year.
Wow. So good. Does that go directly to the museum, then?
Not the 837.
Not all of that, no.
Is there going to take a movie of the museum? No, it wouldn't go to fixing up the museum.
No, he's not talking about a museum.
Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, can we, we need to move on from that, sorry.
Like
we can talk offline.
The movie Happy Madison with, what was his name? I'm sorry.
Adam Sandler.
Happy Gilmore?
Happy Gilmore. 50% of that was filmed here in Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Abe. can I get a
I'll make a motion approving resolution number 68-2026 authorizing a grant application to the New Jersey Historic Trust for the Lebanon Township Museum exterior restoration project.
Second. Oh, let Rich be the second.
Mr. Abbott?
Yes.
Ms. Fuller?
Yes.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Wogan?
Yes. Okay, moving on. Resolution number 69-2026, apportioning and allocating open space trust fund among purposes for which it was established in accordance with NJSA 40:12-15.7 and Lebanon Township Code 67-2. And I'll ask Tom and or Rich to explain that.
First of all,
you did the work.
The agenda says that public hearing required.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, tonight. Given that,
I just wanted to explain it.
So my recommendation would be: is you can explain what the proposed allocation is for the purposes that what they are, and then once you give the big background, can open to a public hearing, see if anyone has any comments on it. Close the public hearing, assuming then you would adopt the resolution after the public hearing.
Okay. So we're required to annually allocate our open space trust fund monies among various categories, which I'll read off in a moment. As of April 2nd of this year, the total in our open space trust fund, that is the Lebanon Township Open Space Trust Fund, is $1,396,260.80. In consultation with Tom and others, we reviewed the likely requests for funding and needs of the township in this year, and this resolution would allocate that total among the following, and I'll read off the numbers in each case. And by the way, none of these require that these amounts be spent. This just simply, for purposes of the requirement that we do this every year, and it's a useful exercise because it forces you to think about all these things. It requires us to essentially estimate and lock in these numbers, which we can change, but that would require another resolution in the future if we ever wanted to do something different. Right. So for now, anyway, this is how we propose to allocate. Not that we have to spend the money or will, but how we would allocate. Number one, acquisition of lands for recreation and conservation purposes, $700,000. Number two, acquisition of farmland for farmland preservation purposes, $266,260.80. that's an odd number, because that number was backed into after we did all the other numbers, and that was how much was left. Number three, maintenance of lands acquired for recreation and conservation purposes, $200,000. Payment of debt service on indebtedness for any of these purposes, zero, because we have no debt service on indebtedness. Five, development of lands acquired for recreation and conservation purposes, so this is development, $50,000. Historic preservation of historic property structures, facilities, sites, areas, or objects, and the acquisition of such property structures, facilities, sites, areas, or objects for historic preservation, $180,000. And last, Blue Acres projects, which we have none of, zero. So those are the purposes and the proposed allocations of our total current Open Space Trust Fund of $1,396,260.80. I guess we open now for public hearing.
You open? Yes. I have to make a motion to open public
hearing. Can I have a motion to open to public hearing?
I'll make a motion to open the public hearing.
Second.
Mr. Abakowski?
Yes.
Ms. Kohler?
Yes.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes. Anybody have any questions for us on the open space allocations? Thank you.
Laramie Silver again. I do have a question on the one category you mentioned, Mr. Webb, of development of property already required. I imagine things like playground equipment would come under that, but I know the playground equipment at the park has just been redone. So I'm curious what kind of projects the committee is contemplating under that category.
I don't believe that we had anything specific in mind.
Not specific, but let's just say the pond, if it could be an all-year-round pond. Mm-hmm. That would be a development in open space. Not that we're thinking of doing it. I'm just taking a thought in something like that. As far as the Memorial Park and that's in the category of $200,000. This would be if we wanted to do something different on our open space and develop it. And that is just an example. Not that we're choosing to do that. So we don't really, at this moment, have a project in mind. But we thought we could.
So it could be something like the pond or like building trails or taking down trees.
If I could comment, I'm the liaison to the park, and what I asked them to do was give us a five-year plan. And there is a plan. And do we have that on? It's in our package, but is it on the website?
No, it is not. That's correspondence in the committee's packet.
Okay.
But part of the need for the park, I think I discussed it, we need $75,000 to complete the guide rail project, which will come out of that open space for the park. That's the only thing that I have that I know of this year for.
Yeah, I mean, just to give you an example of some things that they're thinking about besides the guardrails, and we're going to be having a ribbon cutting on the volleyball court. Mm-hmm. We got to get that. That'll happen pretty quickly, but the trail that goes around that people walk on, mm-hmm. Potentially widening that, because it's kind of narrow. Maybe some exercise stations along there to do that. And then I think way in the future, somebody, they thought about maybe doing some pickleball.
Okay, I want to answer your question about the trails. Yes, the development could, if there isn't a trail there and there needs to be a trail, that would be a new development. That possibly could be out of that allotment, or maintenance of the trails could come out of the other portion that Jay's talking about with our open space. So there's a couple of areas that we can choose depending on what the actual project is. Whether
thank
it's
you.
New, you know, something that we're maintaining is different. But yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
The only thing I'd like to add to is those categories are statutory. That's where they came from. The governing body didn't make it up.
Oh,
comes out of the
statute.
That's
good to know, that they're we're forced
yes.
to spread it out, even though we're not necessarily going to use
correct.
It.
Okay. Thank you.
So we don't have any flood zones. That's why we don't have any Blue Acres.
No, but like the abandoned house, that could be Blue Acres if we wanted to buy it and get rid of it for public safety, but it's something we don't want to touch right now.
Mm-hmm.
So
close it. Right,
can I get a motion to close public hearing?
So moved.
Second. Mr. Abakowski?
Yes.
Ms. Kohler?
Yes.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Wood?
Yes. Okay.
Anyone move to adopt?
Can I get a motion to adopt?
I'll make a motion to adopt resolution number 69, 2026.
Second.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. I think we just gave birth to a historic amount of resolutions. And then we'll go on to, I don't see any unfinished business, but there is some new business here. So if anybody doesn't have any objections on the committee, I'll move to new business. On the new business would be the DPW supervisor request to advertise for summer help for two openings. And then either Tom, you could comment, or Carolyn, on what that is.
In the past, last year we didn't hire anyone for the summer, I don't believe. But this year we're looking to, look for summer help, and that is done through a Clean Communities process where the summer help is paid through that. And Warren's looking to, get some extra help this year. And, I already have some ideas for the extra help.
All right. Good.
So we'll see how we go with that, but that's done through a Clean Communities grant to afford us the additional.
So it doesn't cost us any money.
No.
Okay. Good note. Thank you. Then I'm going to, and then the additional new business would be.
Do you want to authorize that and just take a motion if you?
I'll make a motion
to authorize the DPW supervisor to advertise for summer help for two openings.
Second.
Mr. Radakowski?
Yes.
Ms. Kohler?
Yes.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Woodward?
Yes. All right, other new business would be GIS mapping and SWMP estimate. Clerk, would you like to opine on that one? And explain what SWMP stands for.
And please tell us there's a grant for this.
Stormwater management plan.
Correct.
Another state-imposed.
The township engineer just completed, and the DEP just approved the township's stormwater, the SPPP, Stormwater Pollution Prevention Plan. It was a long time in the works. I don't believe the town had one done in many years. It's a requirement as a MS4 Tier A, correct?
B.
B?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're all B now.
Okay. So that was just approved. With the DEP's approval of that, years back, probably four at least now, every town was granted a $75,000 grant amount when everybody got moved to the TOB.
Oh, okay.
$25,000 was released. Mm-hmm. Once the SPPP was approved, the $50,000 would be released as additional grant funds. Mm-hmm. We just got that 2 weeks ago or so. With that said, now the next part of having the SPPP in place is we have a stormwater management plan in place that was last updated in 2005, if I'm not mistaken, to which our township engineer can do that at an estimated cost of $3,500 to $5,000, which our grant, $50,000 grant funds can be used for, as well as one of the other requirements as a MS4 permit is to have stormwater basin outfalls, all of that GIS map. It's a project that DPW can't do. I think originally the thought was that they could try to. It's just too complicated. There's too much to it. So the township engineer, as well, can do this at a cost of between $18,000 and $23,000. It's a big project. A lot of square miles.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that $50,000 grant fund can be used to cover those costs as well. I've spoken with our DPW supervisor to let him know that we would be using that $50,000 to cover these two costs if the township committee was in agreement. It will still leave some additional funds that he could use for new grates or any other stormwater, maintenance that he needs to do. But these are both requirements. We don't have a choice.
Right.
And we are a little past due, but the state is just wanting to know that we're complying and doing our part to move forward with compliance.
So what ultimately would you do is you'd award a professional service agreement to the engineering company for the purpose.
Okay.
So if you want to move forward, so we need to do a resolution, authorize the agreement, and put the proposal in it. And literally what they have to do is go where all the stormwater is, show where it goes throughout the town.
All points, all sources,
correct,
right?
Yep.
Yeah. The whole town.
The whole town.
32 square miles.
Every town, you didn't have to do it before, but now every town has to do it. So think about it. You talk about a budget, that this is a clear unfunded mandate.
Yeah.
And it has and, to go and, on our
and,
website.
And the street sweeping is the next mm-hmm. thing you're going to have to deal with.
Stop trying to cheer me up.
I'm just telling you, but it's you know. But, yeah, so they have to go out to have people in the field. That's why it's labor intensive.
Thank you, Counselor.
Yep.
So I'll just put together a resolution of professional service agreement.
Yeah, I'll work with you on that. All right.
Okay. So we don't have to do anything right now. All right. Let's go on to the next one. I'd like to proudly announce that I'm going to appoint Lori Overacre to our new Library Advisory Board. And I think you've accepted and said yes. Okay. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for stepping up. Do we don't need anything for that, right? Because that's a mayoral appointment, Counselor?
The mayoral appointment.
Okay. You're in. You may not like me anymore after that, but... Okay, next one. Sorry to the fire department for sitting through all those resolutions, but we're going to have our fire chief get up and talk about a trailer that's needed by the fire department. You want to come over there?
Not really. I'm loud enough.
I would like you to, please.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's better to have it on the recording.
Is it?
Yeah. Because this goes that way and that one, it's... Should I have Brittany get up instead of you?
You can do whatever you want. You're the mayor.
Go ahead.
We're just looking to get rid of one of your trailers. It's a 2009 trailer. It sat outside its whole life. We tried putting it in the firehouse, and it doesn't fit in the firehouse. I took it to Skyline Trailers in Washington, right on 31. The guy looked at it and said, I'm surprised your UTV gator hasn't gone through the trailer yet. The floor's all rotted out. The gate's all rotted out. So I'm just looking for permission to trade in that your trailer and purchase a new open deck trailer that can fit in the firehouse. There'd be no expense to the township committee. We had a coin toss, and we raised enough money to put money towards the trailer with the trade-in.
Okay.
So we're just looking for permission to get rid of it.
Trade it in.
Trade it in towards...
And that'll offset what the new trailer...
Offset the cost, yeah. Right.
So again, so it's government, so it's not that always that easy. So the trailer's the township's trailer?
Yes.
Right, so you have to do a resolution that you don't no longer need it. And who's going to purchase the new trailer?
We are.
Who's we?
Your fire department. Fire department.
All right, with their own cash?
Yep. Yes.
Right, so you would have to, like, only because it has no value, I take it, right?
$1,500.
$1,500?
So that's value. Yeah, there's value. We would have to do a resolution to offer to basically say we're no longer to use it. Does it have a title to it or no?
Yeah.
All right. So you're going to have to get the title, gets the titles in the township's name?
Yep.
So we're going to have to change the title over?
And we already made an agreement to the trailer guy to put the new trailer in the township's name as well. So it's just trading it in.
Right.
We're just not asking for money.
I get that, but we just can't do that. So we have to take steps to do it. We have to, by resolution, authorize. We no longer need this, so we're going to, you know, donate it and then finish
it. So you're going to pay for it, but the township's still going to own it.
Right. Because you insure it, so.
Okay.
Just like every other vehicle that's parked in these firehouses.
Well, I mean, then isn't it easier for us just to make the purchase?
What if I told you it's already gone and I got the new one?
I would say that you shouldn't have done that. That's what I would tell you. And that's
it's not still sitting.
That's improper. And yeah, I would say, well, I won't say what I would think, but yeah, it wouldn't be right. I'd be upset.
So for the next meeting, May 13th, we need to have a resolution.
Well, I mean, so really, then we're acquiring a new trailer. I mean, the source of the funds are different. What's the cost?
It's $2,710.
Okay. So it's below our quote threshold, so we don't have to worry about that. To me, it makes more sense for us, if that's the case, and it's going to be titled in the township. Township authorized a purchase. We authorized a purchase, you know, and then as far as the cash coming, you can talk to Lorraine, but, you know, how we pay it or we don't pay it, that would be our component, and then they can send cash, but it's going to be titled in us, so I think we're the one who should be purchasing it. And we insure it. If it were me, that's how I would handle it.
Okay.
Seems straightforward enough.
Correct.
Yeah. Because
otherwise, we would have to do a resolution to let them have it, right? Because no, Well, that's not the... And now he's saying it's going to be titled in the township. Well, it's going to be titled to the township. Again, wherever the source of the funds are irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
We're acquiring it.
Yeah.
And they're allowing to use it. Yeah. So it seems to me is that we can do that. We should enter into the agreement with this entity, assuming they probably have a BRC and what they have. And then when it ultimately pays it, we'll go it, and then they can cut a check for their portion, and we use the trailer for our portion. Done.
Okay.
What happens when you sell that trailer?
Which trailer?
With this new one with funding from this side.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Sources of funds, really, that doesn't matter. It's titled. If it's in your name, right. Right.
It's not like we're taking it anywhere. It's sitting in the fire for the community.
I just didn't know if there would be a hiccup later. Department money.
The township is in the township's name and their title. So you own a vehicle, you have the title. You have a trailer in your title, it's yours.
Nobody has the title because nobody can find it. I have to go to DMV and get a title.
Yeah, okay. Well, but that's what I'm saying. That's how I would handle it.
So we'll get that done for the next meeting.
As long as we can get the title, but we'll have to get that. But yeah, and then we'll have to get the quote or whatever you have to get it to Carolyn, and we'll figure it out.
I'll say I have everything rated. It's in your files, okay. And I'd rather do it sooner than later because we're getting into the season where we're going to start using it again.
Sure.
Yeah, right.
That's the only reason we kind of
started
doing it. We didn't think it'd be a huge problem because it's a trailer.
So would the gators stay on the trailer in
doors? The fire?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So getting that title is really the bottleneck right now.
Yeah, that's okay. Fine. I have the form already.
Yeah, but you're going to need it. You're going to need somebody from the township in order to do it. You can't do it because you're not a township employee. Representative. You don't have the signing authority. The mayor may have to do it with the clerk in order to get title. You can do the legwork.
Yeah, I can title that.
Right. Right.
Okay. Do we own the fire trucks in our just a quick or they're in
you own
the
everything
township
except,
owns all of that?
You
right?
own you own everything except the buildings.
Okay.
The buildings are the fire departments.
Okay.
This one
that's what I thought. That's what I
unless
thought.
You cease to exist.
Right. That's fine. You can shut us down too.
And you guys have paid for maintenance of the buildings since at least I've been here.
Yes, we have. Yeah. Okay. Can we make that happen, Carol?
All right, we just got
to. So we don't have to, do I have to do anything right now?
No.
We're good.
We'll do it next meeting.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
Yep. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. We got a presentation of vouchers. Can I get a motion to adopt resolution number 70-2026, authorizing payment of bills, claims, and statements of the Township of Lebanon in a total amount of $2,100,582.91.
I'll make a motion to adopt resolution number 70-2026 as stated.
Second.
Mr. Adakowski?
Yes.
Ms. Kohler?
Yes.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Wilkins?
Yes. All right. Correspondence, we have a department head report, which just came today, so I haven't even had a chance to look through that in detail, but we will. I bet you there might be. I mentioned this before, we did get from the park committee their 5-year plan for Memorial Park. So do we post that stuff to the township website, the department head?
Yeah, and I wouldn't do that unless we talked about
all right.
Right.
Yeah, because we haven't approved what the park committee
right.
decided
wanna,
they want to do.
I wouldn't put that out there until we do that, have a discussion.
Okay. All right, so we're going to open up to public comment, limited to 4 minutes per speaker. Can I get a motion to open up public comment?
I'll make a motion to open up public comment, 4 minutes per speaker.
Second.
Mr. Adakowski?
Yes.
Ms. Kohler?
Yes.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Wogan?
Yes. Anybody have public comment? You can talk about anything you want. Jean, I knew you would get up. Please go to the mic.
Whoops. Because we have someone here from the fire department tonight, I would just like to say how much I miss the monthly pancake breakfast. It was really a time when everybody got together, they could visit, people came from church, and then the firemen came down to Changewater Church for the spaghetti dinner, the strawberry festival. It really had a nice sense of community. And without the newsletter, which I understand will be reconstituted but not mailed out to people, so that's not quite the same, and without pancake breakfast, what do we have that keeps us together as a township? So I think that we could work something out. The key club at school, they used to volunteer with the recycling when Jan did it every month. People from other, the historians even, I'm sure would, you could have them come for one time a month if there's not enough people to, whatever, flip pancakes or serve the food. Anyway, that's my comment.
Thank you, Jean. Appreciate it.
Vern Warte, Anthony Road, Lebanon Township. Just want to make a remark about the tree cutting. This is something that's just needed, you know, a lot of attention. As you know, it keeps getting worse and worse. We want to thank you for the work that was done out there. The people that are actually doing the work, you know, I went out and talked to them about, you know, the wood and so forth, and they were just really responsive, just really did a nice, neat job. And just seeing how they're doing it around the township, they're just you know, doing a great job. So I just wanted to say something. I know I see some things on social networking that people are saying they need, you know, things need to be done. Well, you're doing things here, and we appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Just wanted to say that.
Thank you. I make a quick note about that. If you look around the town, you'll see little green and pink ribbons on some trees and maybe even on a bush. I'm like, why are they cutting down a bush? But there may be a tree behind
there's
that.
There's a tree behind
and
it, yeah.
And so if you look around the town, there's a lot of that happening right now. Yeah. And where is Keith, our friend Keith, that comes to all meetings and tells us we need to cut trees down? So if you see him, tell him we're cutting trees down.
Well, they're doing a great job out there, and they're doing it really rather quickly, you know.
That's good to hear.
So just wanted to mention that.
Thank you very much. We don't readily get compliments, so thank you. Anybody else? Come on, Larry, you don't have nothing to say? All right, just checking. All right, can I get a motion to close public comment?
So moved.
Second.
Yes.
Ms. Kohler?
Yes.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Ms. Wilson?
Yes. Okay, can I get a motion to, we're done, and then we're going to go into executive session. And we're going to be talking about executive session resolution number 71-2026, authorizing executive session. So I'll need a motion for that. And we're going to talk about collective bargaining, which is our CWA contract, and then land acquisition, potential land acquisition. So can I get a...
I'll make a motion to adopt resolution number 71-2026, authorizing executive session for the topics mentioned.
Second.
Mr. Adamowski?
Yes.
Ms. Kohler?
Yes.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Thank you, everybody.